Okay, well, this is going to cover the entire lectionary year in gospel imaging in 1 hour. So we have a few images to go through. There's some prerequisite. There's one prerequisite thing I just want to point out, and that's I'm not sure if you've heard the hymn, one of which the part goes, "The sevenfold gifts are thine, O finger of the hand divine." I'm not sure if anybody of you heard that. I never heard that. Michelangelo did.
Okay.
And the reason I bring that up is, that look familiar?
Yeah.
Michelangelo, Sistine Chapel. Can you see the faint outline right here?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
The finger used to be touching God's hand. He moved it because he heard that. Singing.
Would you read it again? Read that again.
The line, then?
The sevenfold gifts are thine, O finger of the hand divine. So he moved it. And so we have God the Father, we have the Son, and that space in between is the Spirit.
Oh.
The sevenfold gifts.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay? So this for me, symbolizes the dialogue. And the dialogue is much of what you're going to see and what we're going to be talking about this hour, because a lot of this is about perspective. The artist's perspective, and how you see it as well. It does create a dialogue, and the images that I'm going to be sharing with you often intentionally create that dialogue, and you'll see why. And it was more than ironic that that the gospel image in the sermon yesterday was those who humble themselves will be exalted. Artists aren't good at that.
The humble part. The exalted,
yeah,
they like
the humble. We love the exalted. Yeah, reminded me, Len, when you said at the end of the piece to just stay calm, wait for the piece to end. The artists are like, over here, over here. When my father and I did about 600 images, a little over 600 images together, all on imaging the gospel. This started as a commission from the Canadian Lutheran Church. And right away, we saw it as a challenge because church bulletins are like the most disposable art form out there. We didn't want that to happen. So the way that we solved that, and this is where the humility thing just goes out the window, is we added, under the 52 Sundays of the year, we added Christmas Eve and Holy Week. That gave us 54, which gave us a 9x6 grid so that we could do one overall image. That way, if people missed a Sunday, they'd have a hole in their wall. And it worked because people were asking people to pick up a bulletin for them.
It's like baseball cards trading. Do you have a third week in Pentecost? I'll give you the first week of Advent. The overall image was about the size of the painting up there on the wall.
Oh.
So this was the very first year. Can you see the head of Christ?
Yeah.
Okay.
The head of Christ?
Uh-huh.
I didn't tell you so until I said that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There's the eye, nose, mouth.
Wow.
Head of Christ.
Halo and shoulders.
Yep. We did, after this, my father and I collaborated, and we did a stained glass series, a wood carving series, and a quilt series.
Wow.
The quilt series was the most challenging. I'm not sure if it was the most successful, but I really liked the idea of having Christ on the throne of judgment sitting on a spool of thread with the camel actually going through the eye of a needle. So that was kind of fun. But after 3 years of those, we were doing the same images over and over. And this is what you're going to be seeing partway through this session. It's the same images over and over. And so we came up with a dialogue. And I'll show you an example of the dialogue here in a second. This was the first year of the dialogue, and the background is the creation. You got water down here. It's basically the spectrum. The second year was the church, and so subtle, but you've got the rose window up here, you've got the door here, you got another dome here. It's not intended to overwhelm the individual images. If you look at like the wood carving, which I think is in this blue folder right here, the background image just really pops, but that means that the individual Sunday had to be minimized. We didn't want to do that here. This is an example of the dialogue. What you are accustomed to seeing is over here. In this case, it's the Annunciation. So you see the angel talking with Mary right here. But what this image is, it's, what's that?
Oh, should you turn the lights off?
No. It'll get better.
Okay, yeah.
I don't want you falling asleep. That's a really heavy dinner. What this image is not what we see. It's what the angel saw. So that's what our intention was to create a visual dialogue between what the subject is and then what the subject saw. Interpretive, to be sure, because you can pick a number of different subjects and you can interpret what those subjects saw, but this was what the intent was. And some of you who may be familiar with art history might recognize the lily as the symbol of Mary. You see the lily in there?
Mm-hmm.
You see a lily?
I see a daisy.
You see a daisy?
And a tulip.
Yeah.
Where's the lily?
On the light.
Right here! The lily is the symbol of Mary. The angel is seeing Mary. So it's, again, some interpretive imaging and imaging the gospel. So let's show you something. Lazarus, coming out of the tomb. That's what you're accustomed to seeing. Lazarus has been in there quite a while.
He stinketh.
What's he seeing? Notice his hand is covering his eyes.
What does he see?
Yeah, what does Lazarus see? And Lazarus sees the sun and the sun.
Oh, he's covering, his hand is covering the bright light.
You got it.
Oh.
Whoops. You got the sun because he's just been in there for a while. Mm. And this is the other sun.
But he's also looking through the gauze, so you can see the people behind. He's seeing them through the fabric.
Through the gauze.
But he sees Jesus clearly.
Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's. That should be a fairly simple one. The reverse would be
Jesus.
Give to God the things that are God's. Exactly. Except we're seeing it from Jesus' eyes. So he's seeing the relative value of that denaro, which in relationship to God's creation is not that much at all. So let's try one. Your turn. What we had to do with each one of these. I had to read it and then identify what the subject was and what the subject saw.
There could be several subjects there.
Exactly. Exactly. What are some?
Joseph.
Okay.
The angel.
Mm-hmm.
And God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
I think with being with Jesus. child, she's with child.
So Mary being another subject.
Yeah. That's the being.
Okay. Well, right there, we've got Mary, we've got the angel, we've got the Joseph, we've got God with us, and each one of those could be seeing different things. So you just identified the potential for four different dialogues, eight different images.
And with Joseph, you could do Joseph dreaming or Joseph awake.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice. And we chose that. Joseph dreaming. And then if Joseph is dreaming, he could still be seeing a number of different things. He sees the angel. And?
He sees his pregnant girlfriend.
Or he sees both.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're bringing her. Nice.
So, again, it's...
out of the bottom of that too.
Yeah. Again, it's a visual dialogue. So we're going to go through a few of these, and then I'm going to start getting into the history and showing you others. Nicodemus?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So what would Nicodemus say?
Nicodemus. You got a really confused Nicodemus and a really calm Jesus.
Nice.
How many of you have been on building committees?
Oh, we'll admit it.
And live to tell about it.
And how many of you don't want it ending up in that?
Right.
But that's what the gospel is about. Yeah. Be careful that you're prepared. Are you going to wind up that way?
When you did these on the bulletin inserts, was there one image on the back and one on the front? Or?
Yeah, you might have come in late, but there was a sample that I can show you later. There was a small version of the left image, what the subject is. That was on smaller on the back with the description and the lessons.
Uh-huh.
And the from image was on the front. This is a hard one. This is a very hard one. And one of the things about Jesus and imaging the Gospels is the church didn't exist then. That's an important thing to remember. He beat up on the church a lot because the church back then were the Pharisees, etc. And so you got a lot of Gospel images that are beating up on the church. So it's kind of hard not to image those without beating up on the church.
Which is tough to do when they're commissioning.
Yeah, but that didn't really stop us. This one is, "Get thee behind me, Satan," which, if you recall, was Peter. Peter, the head of the church, right? Yeah, the cornerstone of the church. And he's talking... In this gospel, he's talking about
the adulterers
looking for or anticipating a sinful generation. So that's a tough one, because this one, you got a sinful generation. You got Jesus, who's looking at the church, who's looking at Peter, seeing a sinful generation. We may be the only artists out there that have put a bulletin up with that kind of language on it. But nevertheless, we did. And the light's coming straight out of the church. So it's a tough image. It's a tough lesson. It's a tough lesson anyway. But the image hopefully helps along the way. Here's another really tough one. Wealth. What do you do with all your wealth? Again, talking to the church.
What does the church do with wealth?
It's just wealth in general. He was talking to the Pharisees. But what do you do with wealth? And in this case, the symbol, this was a very hard one to do the of and the from on. And in this case, the symbol was the symbol of the church's wealth. And it's kind of an interesting thing with images, because when you're dealing with parables... Parables allow you to see things in current context. If you look at the parable itself as the subject. So we did that, and this is our subject. Not so much this, but this, because that's the subject of the wealth. The wealth of the church was being able to do, you know, televangelism. So, you see that character there? He's also right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the viewpoint of the television. The actual television that's in the store, looking out over the poor, the church had their wealth. That guy isn't seeing those people.
Oh, he's only seeing the camera.
He's only seeing the camera.
Oh, I get it.
Mm. Yeah. Again, and the TV is in the pawn shop.
Yes.
I love that.
Again,
okay.
it's a tough image. This is the unclean spirit. And Jesus wiping out the unclean spirit. Look who's behind him. By the way, that's dryer lint. I always use dryer lint on the devil. It was used to heat. So you've got the back and forth here between the ethereal and the corporeal beings.
So that's the demon behind
the demon?
Possessed man?
Yeah, so this right here, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What we're saying is, it didn't come out of him, it came out of him whispering into his ear. Okay. Mary and Martha. You may not recognize that Mary, but I don't know if you might recognize that Martha. Busy doing her work. And Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. I included this because I think this is my favorite image of a cross. This is the gospel about God coming down and taking on the burdens that Jesus is bearing. I just really like that cross. Yeah, I like that cross enough where I used it yesterday. I just did this image yesterday. And that's a copper basin right there.
Oh, is that Railroad Creek?
Yeah, Railroad Creek with branches by there. So I just contextualized it. It's just plain because that's what this allows you to do. All right, now we're going to start going through the history in association with the lectionary. So starting with this, which is the beginning of the year. Etc. Art history is wonderful because it's got so many funny things. As artists didn't necessarily know how to represent things, they only had one shot to do it. Like with advertising, you have to capture people's attention in 5 seconds. And it was also legacy. There were no brass plaques. The image itself became the legacy. Those people over there, they paid for the image. You had the sponsors painted into images a lot. You're going to see this too. The table. Nothing's going to sit on that table. It's just going to drop right off. The artist had to learn about the perspective.
Well, I love that Mary is busy reading. Like, yeah. That peasant girl knew how to read.
This is Joseph over here. He's doing his work as a carpenter. He's actually building mouse traps, and there's a historical reference to that as well, with the crucifixion being a form of a mouse trap. I forget the reference though. Mm. Mm. This is
very cool.
Yeah, this is Malawi.
So this is Annunciation?
Yeah, this is Annunciation.
Yeah, so.
With the gift card.
Yeah, well, the angel with the message.
The angel with the gift card, absolutely. Sadeo Watanabe?
That's cool.
Not sure if you're f- familiar with them. And again, these are all just different representations. So now we have the dialogue. Dialogue of the Nativity. Who could the subject be in the Nativity? You know, in this case, we pick the Holy Family. You could pick Jesus. We pick the Holy Family here. And the Holy Family, if you're doing an interpretive view out from the Holy Family, you see those angels, you see the caves. It's a fairly direct interpretation there. Michelangelo would put nudes in an image if there was ever a chance. If there was an empty space, he'd put nudes in an image. It's his signature. Okay? You'd think Jesus would be the only nude in an image like this, but no, Michelangelo puts them all in. Here's the other option. Jesus is a baby. What does Jesus see?
Mommy and daddy looking in at him.
Mommy and daddy.
Animals.
Not animals.
What we did was exhaustion and exaltation.
Oh,
they're just wiped out.
With the angelic host.
Joseph looks pretty tired.
Exhaustion and exaltation. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Parents.
Yep. This is Simeon, and it's Rembrandt.
So presentation of the temple?
Yeah,
the temple?
This is a presentation of the temple to Simeon. All right. Again, there can be a dialogue on these. What shows up in history is the subject itself. We took that and turned it into a dialogue. So...
There's the baby looking at Simeon.
Simeon gets it.
Baby and that's what the baby
he understands. Yeah. Right. He understands. This is polyscenic. It shows up a lot. This is Giotto. You got four or five different stories happening on the same canvas. And they didn't have movies back then, so this is what you got. You got polyscenic paintings. My favorite, I think, is Joseph down here, who's just really confused and bummed. William Kurlick, are you familiar with him? Canadian artist.
Doesn't he have a whole book?
He has a whole book. He's got.
I like
he has a whole gallery up by Niagara Falls, and that. Well, speaking of Niagara Falls. I love this show and tell.
Yeah.
You bring your cards, I bring my crown.
Oh. Could you go back one? Do you think that the telephone poles are intentionally like crosses or just big telephone poles?
Well, what you'll see a lot in the art of the church is the Nativity in conjunction with the crucifixion. So maybe not. But I love them looking at a creche and actually seeing Mary pop in. But there is actually Niagara Falls too. So he paints the Gospels within the local narrative. And like I did the cross here in the valley. These three paintings are all within the Uffizi in Florence, all in the same room, and they show an increased understanding of perspective. And that's why I just wanted to show these to you really quick. None of these angels are overlapping, right? You can see everything of every one of them, okay? And this is Duccio. His apprentice, Cimabue. Cimabue, you start getting a little depth there. You know, people overlapping. But all the faces are still there and whole. Okay? Then you get to Giotto, who has absolutely no problem whatsoever with blocking people's faces out. So you start getting more depth to there, and you also get a very, very big Mary.
She looks more like she's sitting than in the earlier ones. Mm-hmm. How to bring the leg toward the viewer.
Oh, perspective?
That sense of perspective.
But what you'll also see in the history is somehow Mary gave birth to a teenager. These kids are just huge.
They don't know how to draw babies yet.
Now, this is Botticelli. This is Botticelli. And talk about the sponsors showing themselves in a painting. Are you familiar with the Medici family? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not, you are now. They're, every last one of them is some Medici family. They just made sure that they were in the Nativity. There's one that's not. And whenever you see someone on the canvas looking straight out at you in one of these kind of images, 9 to 10, it's the artist. Yep, there's Botticelli looking right out at you because that's the only way you could paint it. Gisalbertus. This thing was 50 feet up in the air. I love this sculpture. No one could see it, but I love this sculpture. So the three wise men all in bed together.
Getting the dream to go home by a different route, probably.
and the angel just really bugging Balthasar. Watanabe, Japanese, if you didn't make that connection. And that's pretty rare to have a Christian artist in Japan when he was doing this. And then this is Sri Lankan with the gold, the frankincense, and the dove. Okay. Moving on into the flight into Egypt. This is Ivo Dulcek of Yugoslavia. Paints very, very aggressively. You can barely make out the donkey here.
That's a donkey.
Oh, sure, yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, I couldn't until you said.
Yeah. It's abstract until you see it, and then it's got that realism to it. Here you got Caravaggio and Joseph's holding up the sheet music for the angel. And the angel's wing and the leg turns this into two completely different stories, with Mary just getting rest over here. So, flight into Egypt, our version. Except this isn't just the flight into Egypt, it's also the Holy Innocents. And we had the choice of subjects here, so our subject was the angel, and the angel looked back and saw one of his other fellow angels consoling one of the other mothers.
The slaughter of the innocents?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was William Kurelek again.
Homage.
Yeah, this is the flight into Michigan. Okay.
That was Amish, wasn't it? With the
not really,
no.
Well, it's
Canadian, so
it's
but
Canadian,
I just
but
saw the thing on the back of the
slow-moving vehicle supposed to have that.
But I got his book of his Christmas things, and I thought that maybe was. But maybe I'm wrong.
It certainly can be.
It's how you see it, I guess.
Yeah. And you got that triangle, that could be the Trinity. I
mean, caution, Trinity again.
Yes, exactly. All right, you Lutherans, just so you know, Luther showed up every now and then in these images, and just to make sure, there he is, right there, along with the rest of the Lutheran nobility of that particular time.
This
is the baptism of Jesus, and the Lutheran bigwigs are making sure. This is Cranach. He was the main Lutheran painter of the time. They'll love that image. And very, very simple. This is Van Gogh. We also had another Good Samaritan, but again, that beats the church up. I just didn't want to do that to you again. These are all ministry. It's another Good Samaritan. This one is
Style.
You know the parable here?
Yeah.
The sower.
The sower. Okay. Okay. What is the sower actually sowing? What's the parable seed?
The gospel according to Mark's interpretation of the gospel. Of the
But what is he sowing?
The word.
Parable.
What's the parable mean? Word?
Yeah. He's sowing the word. And you still have thorns and rocks, you got people leaving and all that.
So you got the
good soil and the not so good soil. The Tempest.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. This is Malaysian. And I think probably even more profound than that might be that. Kids do amazing stuff.
They do.
They really do amazing stuff.
So are those the disciples cheering when the storm's over?
Yeah.
Well, note they're all standing up. Now, our perspective on this was if you had a tempest going on, I mean, God's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good. If he's all-knowing, he may not be standing up. So this is what we think the disciples saw. And he's just sleeping. And tell him the sea to chill out. No, it's not backwards. This is Alan Blackman. This man is a sign painter from San Francisco, and that's how he makes his living, doing actual signs. All of this is brushwork. He does amazing. This is his favorite theme, the Our Father. So just plain brush. Because he's a sign painter, he does a lot of advertising work, windows, etc. And you can see this in a sign. You might be able to see this more.
Mm-hmm. What a great interpretation of prayer.
Yeah.
And just in case you wanted to go to the original.
Give us this day.
Yes, you can see it filling our daily bread.
Is this from the St. John's Bible? Looks like it.
This is from Alan Blackman.
This is all
Alan Blackman. This is all his interpretations of the Our Fathers, and I just love his work.
And he's a living artist?
He's a living artist.
In San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Alan Blackman.
Alan Blackman. Okay, entry into Jerusalem. Watanabe and the bulletin. So, this isn't too hard. He's entering into Jerusalem, so he sees the entry into Jerusalem. Okay. What's the shape of the road?
Cross.
That's his path.
That's what he's entering.
Yeah, his path is the cross with the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, the entry doesn't always have to be universal.
I love it on a flatbed truck.
Yeah. This is
great.
No.
You see Jesus on a flatbed truck.
Yeah. Here's Jesus. This is the entry into Chicago.
There's
somebody never knew.
Yeah. If you're familiar with Chicago, you know the Hancock Building.
Right. Yeah.
Huh. That's funny.
Although there's still someone down here, I think, putting palms down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh.
The temple.
The cleansing of the temple, right? What's the temple?
House of God.
Well, temple could be interpreted a couple of different ways. Now, we do the cleansing of the temple, but destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. So what's the temple?
It's the body.
The body, right. So he is seeing what's happening in the next 3 days.
Is that scanned wheat in the on the hillside?
I took a photograph of wheat and right. I brought it in.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Actual scanned wheat would be too big.
Yeah.
But I did include that in one of the bulletins. Last Supper, again, Luther making his presence.
Where?
Yeah, at the table, right?
Yeah,
all
right.
One of the disciples.
Yeah.
But I notice he's not the guy with the money bag.
That's Judas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the artist, by the way, Connor. This is a Congolese Last Supper. The countries that are more recently into Christianity tend to show things as either more black and white or black and bright, and this is no exception. That's a very black and bright image, as was that one Good Samaritan, where the one who walked away was just in black, everything else was bright and cheery. This is Kurlik again, Last Supper.
The Canadian?
The Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Which may have been probably one of the more realistic representations of how they actually ate. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. How hungry.
Well.
Gethsemane.
Yeah, we're going Gethsemane here. This is Kurlik again. This is one of my favorite sculptures. This is when Pilate washed his hands and said, "This is the Son of Man." This is Ecce Homo.
Oh, with the crown of thorns.
Mm-hmm. It's a West African sculpture. A guy named Hondonsi. Tough image.
Mm-hmm.
Kurlik again.
Huh.
But what does Christ on the cross see? Again, could see any number of different things.
From the cross?
From the cross.
Oh, I like you including the shadow of the cross now.
Yeah, so sees the sponge coming up, sees the crowd. He could be seeing his resurrection. He could be seeing a number of different things. We thought he might be tired at this particular point. He was just about to lay his head down, so he saw the crowd. This is Matthias Grunewald. I'm sure if you're familiar with him. My parents started their school for artists 10 miles that way 30 years ago. They called it the Grunewald Guild after this artist. And one of the reasons is because it may not be the artist's name. So he's known more for the art than the name. It also means green woods, so that helped.
How can artists paint something so white?
So what?
So white and bright, the cloth and It's just amazing. It's so striking.
Yeah, it's slightly overexposed, but there are some things that Grunewald wanted to make sure were halating. And one was Mary, one was the Bible, one was the Lamb, and one was Jesus resurrected. But one thing you'll notice here, I didn't put a close-up in, this is in a hospital ward for people suffering from St. Anthony's fire, which is just open wounds all over the body, basically. So it's contextualized art in that it was in the environment where people were suffering from that illness.
So Jesus was suffering from the same disease?
Yes. Yes.
Because it's a triptych?
Yeah. This I just love. I don't know if you can see the Christ figure here on the cross, the head there. This is the Tree of Life. But how many of you are familiar with "I heard the owl call my name"?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What does the owl represent?
Yeah.
Death.
Death. Right. There's the owl. It's skewered. He just conquered death.
And the two, they look like eyes to me on either side of the owl at the top, in the air.
Oh, you've got them down here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Are they quacks?
I'm not actually sure what those represent.
Who's the artist?
Who did this?
The artist is Davisige in Canada. Davasige.
But it is Canadian?
It's Canadian, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eesh.
Luther making his presence again. Now, this is polyscenic with, that again is Cranach, and I just think it's incredibly rude having this spurt of blood hitting the artist. He's painting with the, blood of Christ, I guess. But this is also Christ. So you've got the crucifixion and you've got the resurrection on the same image.
Resurrected Christ standing on death.
Oh, on death?
Mm-hmm. This is Duccio. And this lid is floating out in midair. Still haven't gotten a hold of the perspectives yet. That's that same Grunewald guild or Grunewald triptych altarpiece, and in this case, completely clean. St. Anthony's fire is gone.
Oh, that's another panel of the triptych?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
And it's hard to make out the details of his head, where his head ends and the halo begins.
That was the same thing on the front with Mary, the Bible, the sheep.
Yeah.
It's called halation. Now this, I don't know if you remember the overall image, but it was the... it was the cathedral, and you had the rose window, so there's the bottom of the rose window here. Here's the top of the door, and there's the cross on the top of the door. Now, the first thing that we did when we painted these was we did one overall painting and then cut it up into 54 pieces. At that particular time, we didn't know how many Sundays in Epiphany there were or where things were going to fall. We didn't know that. So this is one of those happy accidents where the cross is going right into the tomb. Completely coincidental, but you gotta love it. Because the flip side image of that, what the angel is seeing, is the cross, the empty cross, heading right out again.
Oh, so you did the background.
Yep.
and then printed it twice and cut it up. So
well, no, did the background, scanned it in, and I was able to use the same scan for both.
Yeah, well,
because
kind of, each one is a different layer. So, I mean, the backgrounds on both of them are identical.
Yeah, yeah.
From a procedural point of view, my father did the overall painting and the line art, and I brought them together. This is at Autun. This is the Touch Me Not after he got out and didn't want the
post-resurrection
touches. But I just love that dance.
Yeah. I can hear Jesus now. God, she's touching me.
Yep. Seeing the gardener. Is Evo Ducek again? Ducek.
I love the fish.
Yeah. Oh, dig into that fish.
It's a big fish.
What a big old eyeball.
Oh, this is Emmaus.
This is Emmaus. Yeah. And this was our version of that, where they see him in the breaking of the bread, and then he disappears. Rembrandt did Emmaus.
That's powerful.
Yeah. He was like the master of light. This is Isabel Pikchek out of Hungary.
Looks like a current day action video.
It's actually a weaving.
Detail.
Yeah.
So, Ascension.
What does Jesus say?
What does Jesus see?
Yeah, I would say that's Jesus going up. Does he look down? Does he
well,
look
it's,
down?
It's not just it's not just Jesus, but it's also the Father.
Yeah.
So we pick the Father as the subject here.
Okay.
He's coming up.
Perspective.
Yep.
That was one I
really thought. Yep. So, this is a fairly straightforward one. In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God. So, you can see the Greek symbol there, right?
No, we are for sure.
What
was
Alpha C?
Yeah, what is Alpha C?
Omega.
Omega.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool.
That is neat. Oh, it's got the same rainbow on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was it in terms of images.
Wow. How long did it take you to put all that together? That's inspired work.
Well, the bulletins themselves.
Just this presentation.
Well, I mean, yeah, the bulletins.
The bulletins were done over 8 years.
How many series did you do?
Two full series. The first image he showed you was of when his father did it just all by hand. And then after that was cycle C, and then they did the next 3 years. First one was called Stained Glass, and we don't have the overall image for that one. But they were very bold, because it would be similar to, you know, how stained glass, if you chose to make it, it would be more elemental. So they did 3 years of stained glass wood carving and the quilt.
So when your father, I'll go,
pardon?
Go ahead.
No, it's just that, but the conundrum is, okay, they just done cycle A, B, C, and now they have to do the same images, A, B, C, and they're like, we did, you know, it's not just that we just did them, because we as congregants see that, you know, how artists or photographers image the Gospels every 3 years, the same scriptures every 3 years. And so for the artists, the conundrum is, how many ways can we image the Gospel?
But by the way, I was remiss in showing you one thing on this image, which I just think is, it is funny. It is funny. Because artists don't necessarily know how to image everything. So this is the Annunciation. And I don't know if you can see it.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, is that a bird there?
Yeah.
No.
Insemination.
It's insemination.
That's the Holy Spirit.
That's the sacred sperm.
Well, that's what I meant. It was
different artists.
And look at the line heading right into the landing zone.
But it's subtle.
Artists
are
nuts.
It's in a number of paintings. Yep. If you look at it's graphic.
Is it a cross that's being carried by a little angel?
Yeah, I always
yes.
thought it was like a flying little cross, but I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it is a cross.
Yeah.
Is it
little inseminating cross crumble thing.
So when your father painted those images, what size were they?
The size of the bulletins?
Yeah. I mean, were they just that size?
Yeah, well, they were
It was a...
legal size.
Yeah, 8.5 by 14, folded in half.
And, but the Canadians told them for at least the first year they did it, they said, 2/3 of our congregations fold them in...
thirds.
In thirds.
Mm-hmm.
And 1/3 of our congregations fold them in half. So we want the image on one half, but for all those congregations that fold them in thirds, could you please keep the action of the image in the right two-thirds?
Right
two-thirds. So for the challenge for the artist, it's not just
draw
it, but it's like, make sure that
make
the excitement happens
fold
on, the, on the, you know, the left side of the page in case they happen to fold their bulletins that way.
Oh, talent is
crazy.
With folding techniques, they're all the same.
Actually, one thing we're trying to figure out right now is how to make them available again, because we can, with these dialogue series, we can. And at this point, with the technology that's out there, because these were done in the 90s, and right now, the church services are done differently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's projection that's used in services now. I'm starting to wonder if making them available digitally for projection is almost like virtual banners.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be wonderful to use them.
And it would still fit within the Lutheran Royal Symmetry so that we can have a banner on both sides.
Well, and the other thing too is if you can make them available digitally, then, I mean, we've got a color copier. We don't have the ability to project because of the architecture of my worship space, but we could print our own bulletins if we could get a digital image that we could then, in Publisher, drop that picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are all copyrighted, aren't they? I mean, you as the artist have, I know you've been commissioned, but how do you protect, you're not protecting, you're sharing with the congregation, but explain that, would you please?
Well, if we want to do anything with the first three series or four series that we did, we would need to work with the publisher in order to coordinate rights because he's got the copyright on those. On the dialogue series, as artists, we retain the rights to reproduce them as we see fit. I'm just at this point trying to figure out the best way to do that.
Every 18 years, the calendar repeats itself. But the spring equinox full moon doesn't cooperate as well. And so we're right now at the same the same dates for all of the holy days, finally, since 1992 when they were first made, that they actually fit the calendar year, except every year is either off. Easter's off by 1 week for 2 years in a row, then it's off by 3 weeks, which means 1 year you're going to have too many Sundays, or you're going to, one too many Sundays of Epiphany and one Sunday short at the season of Pentecost at the end. And so the overall image wouldn't work because they'd be off. And if you move one, then so the pity is that that part of it, we wouldn't be able to recreate an offer, unfortunately. But there are still so many images that would work, even if it wasn't the same gospel, because some of the images are Christ addressing a crowd or a few people or the Christmas nativity. That would still be images that churches might want to utilize somehow. So,
have you thought about that idea of a virtual banner?
Well, I think if they are made available to churches digitally, then churches could present them in whatever format made the most sense. If they were, if they wanted to project an image, they could, just like this. If they wanted to take that image and drop it in the publisher, they could.
I like this presentation, the way you put in all of these masterpieces with your work.
The one thing I wanted to get across to you, which I think actually maps in very well with the next presentation, Molly, when she does her presentation, is the seeing things from the other perspective. If you can look at the gospel now and start looking for the subject and what the subject might see, then that's a good day's work as far as I'm concerned. It's a rich history and it's a rich gospel, so bringing them together and looking at them in different ways is.
You showed me one with the golden bread as a background. Can you share that with this group?
Oh, the golden bread as the background. Yes.
As you're looking for that, the triptych that you had up a moment ago.
Yeah.
Where is that now? Do you know?
Ooh. I'm not sure where that one's at.
I'm wondering if I saw it when I was in Italy.
That's it.
This is one he just did with granola bread.
With Holden bread.
Oh. That's an actual loaf in the back.
That's an actual loaf.
From the kitchen. He asked for, you want bread, you want a slice or a whole loaf?
Just want to photograph it.
That's easy.
I love that. I love the colors.
Yeah.
That's so rich.
So that's an image that could be utilized at a number of times of the year.
So is the foreground image, is that something your dad did? Mm-hmm. Or is that,
that's
and so when he does that, does he do that pen and ink and
he
watercolor?
Does that, he does that pen and ink. He just does the black line.
He does
black
line. Okay.
I fill everything else in.
Electronically.
So I mean that's linen.
Uh-huh. Oh sure. Where do you see the texture?
Yes. Yeah, I scan that in.
So in the computer he's got three different layers. The one layer on the other one, it's not this one, but the one layer would be whatever the background image after it was cut into 54 slices. That would be one layer. Another layer would be the pen and ink, just the black lines, and then the next layer would be whatever as a graphic artist was scanned in to give it extra dimension or texture or color. And
this one.
Yeah.
When you look at texture, I spent a bunch of my time trying to identify appropriate textures for things. I even wound up needing to look for a leper's skin, and we were at the guild, and I wound up stopping one of the guests from eating their pancake because that's exactly what I needed. waltzed off of it, but how do you get that frothy, foaming water look?
The wave crest.
And because I couldn't, you can't paint it. I asked my father to try and paint that, and it just never came out right. And I couldn't photograph it in any particular way. And I was at my wit's end. And then the wood carver at the guild, he had the solution. Use a dark German beer and scrape the head off and you'll be fine. So that's the head of a dark German beer.
He propped it up and put it in a Ziploc bag, closed it, put it on the scanner. And then
scan it. I had to do it really quick, but I think it came out pretty well.
And so is the wood on the boat a piece of wood?
It's wood.
He would have scanned a piece of wood. Sometimes he did brick, sometimes he did hay.
Well, I'm noticing that there's a translucence, that in some cases the background color comes through.
Well, the sail. The sail would be like a 5% translucency.
Yes. Yeah.
And sometimes it would get more intense on one part of it than another.
I mean, it's a very rich background painterly texture, and so to the greatest extent possible, I wanted to take advantage of that.
Sure.
So the line drawings were done completely separately from the background image?
Yes.
And so then your work as a graphic artist was bringing the two of them together?
Yeah.
What a project. My.
So if I wanted to, I could produce a series that had no black lines in it and just had the background texture with the color that was filled in. It actually creates some interesting images because the line is still there, but it's not black. Uh-huh. It's like a negative space.
Yeah. When he did this one, it's hard to say. He scanned in just the red, white, striped fabric for Joseph's cloak. But then he put Joseph reclining, and he just said, having just red, white stripes would look, inconsistent. And so he had to figure out how to get the stripes to curve with the figure, and ultimately came up with some kind of sine curve.
Don't ever let it be said that artists don't understand math.
So, I mean, just an example of trying to find both texture, but also make sense with whatever's going on in the figure. This particular one called Stained Glass, there's not only the lines for the image of each week's gospel, but some of these overall lines are for the overall image once they all came together in the end.
Yeah, that's the leading in a stained glass window, and so the leading created one overall image as well, which was also a head of Chris.
So this one was probably his most creative in trying to do textures. Sometimes it'd be dirt or hay, or he did a brick or that pancake.
Yeah, the scanner company loved me. I was like their poster child for 3 years.
So,
when your dad did the original piece that got then sliced up into 54 pieces, did you literally slice up the painting so you could scan that piece?
It is in 54 pieces.
They were
wow.
not
okay.
that big.
Wow. And he didn't cringe as he took a knife to his painting.
No, he doesn't cringe about that. He paints over his paintings all the time.
Thank you.
Very cool. Yeah.